word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Knowing God, you are invited to a banquet from our gospel lesson for today. I've seen this. It's a very wealthy family. The daughter is getting married. They put out thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to make this a grand event. In the biblical language, they killed the fatted calf. No expense is spared. Flowers, check. Food, check. Expensive dress, check. Decorations, check. Band, check. They thought of it all. And then the embossed invitations go out. And not much later, some of their dearest friends are already calling with their excuses. The day of the wedding, there are more surprises. People who had RSVP'd don't show up. Now, it's still a glorious day. Still many came. But there's heartache, too. Why didn't some of our closest friends come to this wedding? Hurt, disappointment mixed with great joy and festivity. Jesus knew how to tell a parable that hit a nerve, didn't he? This parable has some scary ramifications. It all starts with an invitation. In Jesus' day, it really amounted to two invitations. The first invitation would be like our RSVP. There's going to be a feast. There's going to be a party. There's going to be a wedding. And you were expected to let it be known that you were coming. The second invitation would be to notify the guests that the feast was prepared and ready to begin. Y'all come. All right? That sort of thing. Here's the vital question for today. For you. Are you invited to God's party? Now, before you glibly answer, of course I am, well, you first have to believe that there is a feast, a party to come to be invited to. You know, millions upon millions don't believe or don't know of any feast with which they're invited. If God has no victory over death, if Jesus is a myth, if there is no eternal life, no heaven, or as John Lennon used to sing, imagine there's no heaven, as if that's a good thing, then there's nothing to be invited to. But I contend there is a heaven, there is a kingdom of God, and that there is something to be invited to. I'm hoping that the majority, if not all of you, believe that. In fact, God's servants, even now, have gone out to the four corners of the world with the invitation to believe and to come. But here's what happened. What happened in the parable? They refused to come. Why? Why did they refuse to come? Stubborn, proud, unbelief. Of course, there are the excuses. I have more important things to do. I have my career, my business to attend to. This is an inconvenient time. I have no time for pie in the sky type of things. They're engrossed in worldly pursuits. They put worldly things ahead of the things of God. They are indifferent to spiritual matters. What do they need to be saved from? They come to hate that word saved. It's offensive to them. After all, many reasons, science has shown that much of Christianity and its faith is just silly stories, myths, not to be held on to, not to be taken seriously. I'm going to live my life the way I please. Away with your nonsensical invitations. If you persist in trying to persuade me, I'm going to get mad. And I'm going to pass laws. I might hit you over the head. People we love, maybe even you, have become indifferent to the invitation. You have grown weary of coming to church. Your excitement is gone. Your heart doesn't beat to get up and worship the Lord on a Sunday because you've fixed your eyes on other things. Other things excite you now. I'll get to church once a month, maybe every other month. You know, there will be a price to be paid for this indifference of ignoring God's invitation. God's still God. Judgment is coming. How fierce it will be. And it's not as if we have not been warned. Because this parable is a parable of warning. Let us grieve over those who refuse to believe. They might have it all now, but we know what's in store for them. So let us use every tool, every power, every word to convince them to turn around, to repent before it's too late. So the Father sends his servants out to the street corners to find anyone to bring them in to the grand banquet. Several commentators suggest that in Jesus' time, there may have been a tradition that special wedding clothes would have been provided at the door by the host for free for all who came to the banquet. In Jesus' parable, this would have been a significant detail, considering that the common people, the poor people who's being invited, come with dirty and ragged clothing. So in order to maintain the dignity of this wedding feast, these special garments were available at no cost. Maybe things like what we're wearing, right? To cover over what we're not wearing, like Pastor Travis this morning. You'd be surprised what he has under that robe. You shouldn't have shown me. But the king comes in, and he notices a guest not wearing wedding clothes. How did you get in here without wedding clothes? And the man is speechless and dumbfounded. And then he's tied up and hauled out into the utter darkness to hell. We want to hear a nice story about God saying, everybody's welcome to my party. But what's this? What's this? You know, people want to hear that God loves everybody, no matter what you do or what you believe. But that's not in this story. Here's this guy who just didn't have the right clothes on, and he's thrown out. I'll tell you what this is. It's a person wanting to do their own thing. It's a person who says, I like this part of the Bible, but I don't like that part, and I'm going to disregard that part. It's a person who says, I'm going to determine what is right and what is wrong for me. It's a person who wants to go their own way. And the Bible talks about being clothed in garments of righteousness, of salvation. Isaiah 61. This is the garment that Jesus has won for us. We can't disregard this. It's given to us as a gift. There's only one way to get into the Feast of Feasts, That is heaven, and it's through faith in Jesus and the garment that he gives us. To cling to our own clothes, our own righteousness, and reject the clothes and righteousness that we're given without cost, freely, is a fatal and eternal mistake. So let me take you back to the original question I asked. Have you been invited to the feast? Have you been invited? I know you have, but you have to make up your mind. And let me say, if you're too busy to heed God's voice, then you're too busy. Make up your mind about the Father and the invitation he's sending because of what Jesus did. So make up your mind about Jesus. He says, it's all about me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Make up your mind about the Holy Spirit who brings the invitation. Make up your mind about the Word of God that tells us all about the invitation. Do you know where we are in this parable? I'm absolutely sure of this. You know where we are? You know where you are? Me too. We're the ones that are the beggars, the poor, impoverished people that are invited to come into the feast. That's who we are. We never deserve to be, but we are. We are. See yourself as you really are. So needy, so undeserving, and yet, come on in. Here's the garment. Years ago, Susie and I laughed to see a funeral flower arrangement. Maybe you've seen this, okay? It included a telephone with a receiver dangling and a red ribbon with the words, Jesus called, Mabel answered. You know, I'm sure it's not just the South that has this, but maybe it does. I would love that for my funeral. I'm just telling you, if you can remember this, because especially you. You know. I want my cell phone to say, you know, be opened up or whatever, you know, on. Jesus called, Pastor Rich answered.
Wrong number.
Wrong number. You know how to ruin a sermon. You know, that's why we believers live a life of gratitude. We can hardly believe it. He called, he invited us who are guilty and impoverished ones to the feast, which never ends. How glad we are. How glad we are. And now he gives us the ultimate privilege of inviting other people in his name to come to the Feast of Feasts. You know, in my children's sermon, today, I had them, where did I do with it? Okay. I had these kids up here and it worked out well. You know how we do children's sermons? We think about them on Sunday morning, right? That's what we do. And the kids have to go along with it for the message to be impactful. And they did. I said, do you like to be invited to a party? You know what they did? He said, they threw out their hands. Yes! Yes, yes, we love getting invited to a party. So it made me think from the mouths of children to you today. Are you glad to be invited to God's party?
Yes.
I was hoping they would do it on their own. Let's try it again. Are you glad to be invited to God's party? Yes! There you go. But thanks anyway. In Jesus' name and to his glory, amen.